Welcome.
How are you?
Excellent, excellent. Yes, yeah, so we've got a group of people.
This morning, I tell you.
We got a group of people that wants to get paid for this, which is
all right.
Cool.
They want to be professional coaches.
They do. Yeah, and I know everyone is coached for free out there. We all kind of have the coaching bug. We're wired up this way. But, you know, in your own business, you're going to charge. It's a professional service, and people really benefit from coaching. So it's worth it to invest. So, excellent. Well, welcome, Dr. Dave. I'm glad you're here. Would you like to just say hi and introduce yourself?
Yeah, it's great to be here. Thanks, Lisa. Hi, I'm Dave Kruger. I'm a training and mentor coach at Coach Training Alliance and Dean of Curriculum. My practice is my own coaching umbrella of Mentor Path. There's some coaching articles that you might benefit from and a blog there, mentorpath.com. It's great to be with you. Thank you very much.
Awesome. Hey, Dave, you sound like you're a little far away, too.
Is that better?
Oh, yeah, that's great. There you are.
Super,
nice.
Yeah, thanks. Yeah.
All right. Well, I'm going to, as we said, check out Dave, mentorpath.com. Check him out after class, but do check him out.
Yeah.
And you can check out, he's written a number of books. He's got articles on his website. It's a great site. But what we're going to do with Dr. Dave today is a coaching demo. So Dave is going to coach one of you. So who's the lucky one? So I'd love a volunteer client. Who'd like to volunteer to be coached?
Well, I will if no one else is.
Ben, all right. I know your voice now. And Ben,
Thank you for volunteering.
And Ben's from California, so this is really impressive because it's really early for him.
Oh, yeah.
Excellent. Well, so Ben, let me give you kind of a little bit of instructions. As the client, your job is to bring an agenda for the coaching session. So this is your issue or question or topic that you want to discuss with your coach and what you'd like to take away from the session. So there's kind of a topic and then there's a takeaway, like what do you want to gain by the end?
Okay.
And so kind of give that a little bit of thought. You don't have a ton of time, so but it does have to be real and current. So something really going on for you that you want some support with. And Dave might give you some more instructions on that. But if you would bring an agenda, that would be great. And then you and Dave will have a great coaching session. We are going to have time to debrief after the session. So write down your questions. If you're not Ben or Dr. Dave, write down some questions. You know, what do you notice about the coaching? What stood out to you? What questions would you have asked if you were the coach? Because we're going to get a chance to ask Dave all about it so we can dig a little bit deeper. We'll have a whole debrief. So I'm going to ask everybody on the call that is not Ben or Dr. Dave to hit *6 and mute. We want to give Ben and Dr. Dave the full line. And grab your piece of paper and pen if you're not driving to work or anything. And Dr. Dave, I'm going to turn it over to you, and I'm going to actually go on mute as well.
Thanks very much for the prep, Lisa. That was great. Ben, I'm going to say a couple of things just to our group before we start. One is that everything that Ben and I talk about is confidential and privileged, just like everything in the coach-to-coach segments of the training, which is kind of the laboratory, as well as whatever you engage with private clients. Everything is confidential and privileged. We're going to limit this to 15 minutes, which is what the coach-to-coach segments are in the training, to give you an idea of how much can be done in a 15-minute time if you really specify and clarify exactly what the focus is. And, again, to have everyone mute *6 and remember to come back and unmute when you're ready to talk and participate. We'll have a time for discussion, and we'll all talk about this at the end. So thanks very much. Ben, thanks again for volunteering. What would you like us to focus on?
Well, I can't lament about last night's game, so we'll talk about something. My marriage, or perhaps lack thereof, I guess is probably a better word. So, currently separated right now. I'm giving you a lot of really mixed messages from her. And it's very confusing and it's very, I don't know. It's so up and down right now. It's just really hard.
Let's get to a specific focus of what you want to do and engage in our time together that would be of help to you. What specifically do you want to focus on?
Communication. I want to know how or what is the best way to communicate, because obviously it's something we can't do, so, or do well.
Okay, and where would you like us to get to for you at the end of this time?
Well, that's a good question. How, what's the best way to communicate? What's the best way to, because either we don't listen to each other or we're not, we're so busy thinking of the next question that we're not fully, I don't know if the word is engaged, but, we're not fully listening. We're hearing, but not listening.
Okay, that's great for us to focus on. So to even further refine that, I want us to focus on what you can determine. So this is going to be just from your side, because you can't determine how she responds. All you can determine is how you respond, but that's 100%. So let's focus on that.
Okay.
Can you give me just an illustration of when it works for you to communicate? Just a very succinct overview in two or three sentences. What worked?
I'm trying to think of, we have a lot of differences.
Just one when specific instance,
yeah.
Two or three sentences, if you can summarize it, man. I know that's a challenge.
We have fun together. We have a lot of like things. It is more fun. It's really hard.
Okay, we're from the Observer's platform looking at a whole big spectrum. Can you hone in on a specific instance of what worked in terms of the conversation of what you said, for example, that worked for her to really get and understand what you said, where you had that clarity and specificity?
I hear crickets chirping. I don't really, I'm trying to be married for a long time, and trying to think of when they, because even, oh, I'll go back into that.
Well, what's an illustration of how it doesn't work? Can you just do that in a very brief way? What is it that usually happens from your perspective?
She is, I don't know if the word is controlling or critical, but sometimes I guess it's more when she's overly stressed. She criticizes and she constantly, anything and everything I do, it seems like, from the way I do things to the way I talk to what I say, what I don't say, when I'm doing something, it's why I'm not doing something else instead.
So you're upset and off center when that happens and you respond in a way that's not helpful because you're upset or frustrated?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Has there been a time when instead of responding out of that frustration, you've gotten centered and really balanced and resonated with her experience?
I do acknowledge what she's saying. I do hear what she's saying.
How does that work?
It honestly doesn't seem to change anything, because even when I acknowledge what she's saying, and even while I'm saying, you're right, it doesn't, it's like you would think that that's what she really wants to hear, and it doesn't, it's not really what she wants to hear. She wants, it doesn't seem to work. It doesn't change her thinking. It's still, it doesn't change.
Has there ever been a time that you've responded in a way that has been a calming response on her part and a connected response?
Other than like holding your hand or gentle touch, or it tends to. But she's not a touchy-feely person at all, so.
Okay. Let's do something to see if it might be of help to you, because I hear how it's difficult to really think about something specifically, and either that worked or didn't work. Take a piece of paper and draw a circle. Tell me when you've done that.
Okay.
Inside that circle, draw a stick figure. Okay, that's your wife. What's her first name?
Ben.
Jen?
Ben.
Okay. She's in that circle. Now, for her to really listen to you, or her to in any way regulate her experience of upset, you're going to have to get in that circle. Now, there's only one way that I know of to get in that circle, and that's to resonate empathically with her experience. Because in anything that happens, state of mind always comes first, and then strategy and story. And this is going to be beneficial in terms of coach training, because usually coaches, you know, immediately jump into doing the strategy and creating a new story or doing something about that, rather than resonating with the experience of someone so that you together can create a common ground. When you resonate with someone's experience, it helps them get balanced and grounded, and especially it creates a bond with you to begin to go someplace new. You can't go someplace new with somebody until they get that you get what they're experiencing. So as you're thinking about what may be upsetting to her, think about how you can strike while the iron's cold. Think about having a discussion with her at a time that's not prompted by upset or by something that has just happened that you have a strong disagreement about, but discussing and recognizing how it may be difficult for you to respond to her when you feel that she's critical. But this is not about you. It's about how to create a common ground to discuss some things that are of importance to you, and how you recognize you've done some things that put her on tilt, or whatever the words that you and she may use, so that she's responding more emotionally. Now, your thoughts about this?
I know one area, not on the critical list, but if she will say an incident happened at work, something happened to her at work, and I will immediately go into my little coaching hat, and I would recommend that, you know, take a deep breath and slow down a little bit and try to process this or look at it from a different point of view, and that immediately sets her off. That doesn't work.
Discussion, what do you understand about why that is? Why does that not work?
She doesn't want to hear the rah-rah. She doesn't want to hear, don't worry, it'll be okay. She doesn't want to hear...
Okay, I want to interrupt you if that's okay. I don't think that's the reason. I mean, I'm sure you're right in that sense, but you haven't entered the circle. You haven't resonated with her experience. First of all, you don't have a coaching client, so you can't coach her. If you move immediately into some strategy of how to deal with it, that's going to set her off even more, because that emphasizes that you don't get it. So the first thing you have to do in moving into that circle would be to resonate with her experience and let her know that you hear what she's experiencing and empathically resonate with the most important emotional aspect of that, such as, you know, I hear how upsetting that was to you, at work when that happened. So you're not trying to coach her. You're not trying to tell her what to do. You're not giving her instructions. You're setting up the potential of a conversation. So you're telling her that you understand what's happening and you're resonating with the prominent feeling experience to create a common ground. And you'll know immediately if you're in that circle, if you've created a common ground, because you said that you're thinking of the next question or thinking of the next thing you can say, which keeps you from being really present because you're not listening 100% or you're not able to resonate or even think ahead 100%. So you spelled out very quickly and very insightfully what you're doing instead of this. Now, what are your thoughts?
I agree. I hear what you're saying because I do.
That's a great response. All right. Okay. Yeah, that's communication 101, to reflect back to someone that we hear what they're saying. And even if it's not some emotionally charged thing, that's always useful in any conversation because the most basic desire that we have as human beings is to be effective. And when you're in conversation with someone else, that takes the form of wanting to be effective and knowing that they get what you're saying. Because if they don't get it and go to some strategy, you don't know that they've gotten it. So you're trying to think of the next thing that you can say to make sure they get it, which is usually to escalate and say it a little bit louder. You know, it's kind of like, you know, if somebody doesn't understand English, you say it again louder in English as if that's going to be helpful. But you've already said that doesn't work. So you were very clear about that. You've already thought a great deal about this.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me what might be a next step for you considering this.
You're saying the right way or what I've been doing?
Well, it's your choice, but I would suggest you think about the most effective way to connect. If you want to, if that's your goal, because there's no right or wrong, but what works and what doesn't, that's what we're going to learn. And if something works, do more of it. If it doesn't work, do something else. So I would say this falls into the do something else category.
I'm thinking something along the line that empathize from her point of view or from her, even if I don't necessarily agree. Sometimes when I look at something, I look at the whole picture. And she wants to know the here and the now. So I can look at it something from a, you know, if it happens to be with a man, then I can get, like, from a man's point of view, but how it's different from her. But I don't necessarily say, you know, he's right and you're wrong. I get what he's saying, but by looking at the whole picture or looking at it from her point of view, I can kind of see both sides. I can see where you're right and I can see where I'm right. I can see where, you know, why you would feel that way, but that's not what she wants.
No,
she doesn't like that.
She doesn't need a referee. If she wants a referee, she can watch Sunday Night Football.
Yeah.
She wants you to resonate with her and to connect. Here's what we let me say this from a slightly different perspective. And this is from brain science. What we know now is that the first few words of a conversation boots up a particular mindset that processes the entire rest of the conversation. This is what you've described. If those first few words are an authority, a judgment, a referee, factual, it will boot up a mindset that's mediated by cortisol and adrenaline, and you're off to the races because somebody's going to be protective. They're going to be basically in an adversarial relationship. That's what you've been describing. Now, consider if the first few words of a conversation are one of connection and resonance empathically, it boots up an entirely different mindset mediated by oxytocin, the chemical of bonding and connection. So if your first few words resonate with her experience, then you've created a common ground that you can go someplace new together. Many years ago in psychoanalysis, when I was still practicing analysis and therapy, I had an analytic patient, a woman, executive who I offered an interpretation to, and I thought it was spot on. I thought it was really savvy. And there was a period of silence, so I knew something was going on. So she finally got up on one elbow, looked back at me from the couch, and said, "No, Kruger, first you've got to be with me before I can go someplace new with you." That was the most brilliant and succinct summary of an entire spectrum of what we're talking about and what neuroscience has come to show in numerous studies, which is exactly what we're talking about. You have to be with your wife first before you can go someplace new. Make sense?
Yes, I'm writing it down.
So, what do you want to use this to do differently with her? I mean, you said you're separate. Do you want to set up what would be next that might be helpful?
So instead of trying to coach her, I need to be more, I guess, her friend. I think that's probably what she would want, is more of a friend understanding than a because I know trying to fix the
underline
problem,
understand, that's the first step.
Mm-hmm.
That's a way to get in the circle. Now, I want to interrupt you briefly. You, in order to do that, need to stay regulated. There are going to be all kind of ways that both of you will have trigger words and will instantly boot up a mindset that goes back to that familiar place.
Mm-hmm.
Here's what I would recommend for you before you schedule that time with her. Look at the homepage of my website, MentorPath. There's about a 35-minute webinar on Master States of Mind. And it really emphasizes about regulating states of mind. That is the most key element for success of anyone. And I think this situation...
Repeat your website again?
MentorPath.com, MentorPath.com. It's in the center of the homepage, and it's a webinar on Master States of Mind. You can listen to it right there.
Okay.
And I think it might be helpful for you to stay grounded and centered and really stay in that circle once you get in there and really have some possibility. You might think about a couple's coach. There are coaches, professional coaches, who specialize in working with couples. In fact, Lisa does. One of our former faculty, Dr. Jackie Black, does. I would highly recommend either of those, because I don't think I can recommend Lisa since she's on the call and part of the faculty, but I mean those are the two people I recommend about, you know, working together with coaches if she and you decide to do that. It would be very helpful to do some of what we're doing in various ways that could facilitate the connection between the two of you.
Mm-hmm.
So I know we're out of time. Thank you very much for working with me in this way, and I'll be eager to hear. You can contact me through the website, a progress note about how this works and what you decide to do.
Okay. Sounds good. Thank you.
Okay. Super. Thanks. Okay. Let's open it up now for anyone. Your thoughts, questions, feedback, reflections on what you heard.
Thank you. I thought that was pretty amazing how you turned that around and helped him.
Well, thanks. This is?
Laurel, sorry.
Laurel, okay, great. Well, thank you for your comments. Ben, what was your experience as you reflect on it now? What was helpful and what was not? Are there any recommendations about what would have been more helpful? How do you think about it as you immediately reflect on it? I know there's not much time to mull it over. Ben, any thoughts?
I think the big thing that I'm taking away from is we didn't go into long drawn out. What he said it, and what I said it, and he said it, and this was and I did. We didn't go into the long, you know, I didn't go into the rant, and you were focusing more on, let's focus on what we can do, let's focus on what we need to do, let's focus on resonating with her experience and understanding from her point of view in order to get into the circle. So it wasn't a long, oh my God, can you hear, it wasn't anything, you know, where you typically go into a diatribe of, you know, he said, she said, this is what
you said. Yeah, you know, Ben, I had a strange feeling that you had the rant down. I thought you would be an expert on that, and that we could, an hour later, you ain't done with the he said, she said. Now, let me tell you this from a different perspective. What we know now from neuroscience is that once you go back into a problem, and you know, the rant here, the he said, the she said, let's talk about the problem, even if it's ostensibly for the purpose of resolving it, especially if it has to do with catharsis or looking for better solutions, it only etches it further in someone's brain. And 1,000 better endings later, you still have the same process that you've engaged that time. It's etched even further. That's why people get stuck in therapy. They know their position. They know something else. They know what, but they're still stuck because they change their state immediately as soon as the pre-rant nanosecond is to get in a different state. And that's like tripping and falling in a time capsule. You got all that stuff down. That's not going to change. And going over, it's not going to help, like a time capsule. You have to regulate your state of mind and approach it in a different way and look at possibilities, because that opens up new pathways and new neural connections in your brain and creates new possibilities for a different state of mind than moving back into the one you're all too familiar with. So these are some of the things that we'll talk about in the coach training, some of the things that are in addition to the curriculum that you'll have that we'll incorporate, and have some resources that I'll share with you, not inundate you with, but share with you as we go along with that. So I look forward to developing this further for you to be really effective coaches who incorporate the mind and brain sciences in what you do, because so many of the methods to facilitate change are contrary to how the mind and the brain work. And this is important to know in coaching, because you'll have a powerful, immediate effectiveness in helping someone to change their story, to write a new story collaboratively. Not to ghostwrite their story, not to tell them what to do, because that would scuttle the whole effect, but to co-create together. So, other thoughts, other questions about any aspect of the session?
So this is Jim. I was just resonating with how you walked Ben through that and kind of helped him come to his own conclusion, because I found that if you can help people either solve their own problem with asking questions or at least bring them to a conclusion that they have ownership of, that they tend to want to work harder for it.
Absolutely, and that's a really great way to put it. Because if you, here's an example of what telling somebody to do, of how that works. When somebody goes to a physician and the physician makes an expert recommendation and gives a prescription, less than 50% of those prescriptions are actually filled. Now, this is after somebody's been motivated by pain, being scared, you know, goes through all the trouble, the expense of seeing a physician. Less than half follow that expert advice. Of those that are filled, slightly less than 50% are taken as suggested by the professional. So less than 1 in 4 people actually do what you tell them to when an expert tells them what to do. And that makes sense. We know that information doesn't work. If you wanted information, you can go to the internet. If information were enough, we'd all be thin, we'd work out every day, we'd eat mostly vegetables, we'd have a lot of money saved up for the future, there'd be a lot of librarians that would be billionaires. But trying to tell somebody what to do doesn't work. You can't ghostwrite their story. But you can co-create a new one together, as you said, with the client as point of reference, developing his or her story, so that that's the model of effectiveness applied in this way. We talked about effectiveness applied in communication. That fundamental motivation of effectiveness can be to co-create a new story with the client doing this, with us as a catalyst, with us as guide. So thanks, great comment, Jim. I appreciate it. Other thoughts or questions?
Hi, this is Christine.
Hey.
Hi, thanks. Hey, I just wanted to say I thought it was really interesting. He basically answered his own question within about the first 2 minutes of your conversation, or at least that's what I heard when he was talking about. How they listen, but they don't really listen. And that was the end result you got to as well. That was really interesting.
You know, you make an interesting comment, and I have noticed this so many times in coaching many hundreds, training many hundreds of professionals, how in a coach-to-coach, somebody, the client will give an answer, and this is in private clients as well. They'll say the answer in the first sentence. You know, they'll say, well, you know I just need to whatever, but here's the story. And then at the end, finally, they come back to seeing that they gave the answer, and they'll say, oh, well, you know, that's brilliant. That's exactly what I needed to do. Thank you. And then I will walk them through the steps of recognition of successively approximating their answer and coming to their own answer so that they'll have this model internally. And ultimately, the goal we have is in mind as a coach is so that our clients won't need us. They'll have internalized the model, and that's the legacy that we leave, that we will affect people who we never have even talked to because they have a model of effectiveness. They have a model of social, emotional, conversational intelligence that they can apply to be even more effective. They are aware of their own dynamics and the dynamics of other people to be even more effective in what they do. So terrific comment, and that's exactly what we do as coaches. So I think you guys are on the cusp of a very exciting transition to professional coaching. Other thoughts or comments?
This is Sherman. I do appreciate it. One of the things that I find myself, I am a problem solver. I can solve people's problems pretty quick. I hear the response, but I've got to recognize the fact is that I've got to be a better listener than to always come up with a solution.
Then treat this, Sherman, thank you for that comment. Treat this in the scientific way. Whenever you proffer an hypothesis and your problem-solving statement would be considered an hypothesis, see what works and see what doesn't work. See if they actually take the advice and change their lives because of that. Like the physician, if you follow it through, less than 1 in 4 actually take that expert advice. This is a recognized expert. They pay. They come all over to do this. So that's something that would be helpful to look at, because what we know now, for example, when someone has a fact or a belief or a particular behavior or attachment pattern that they're engaging in that they even call a problem, simply offering a new one, a new belief, a better answer, doesn't overwrite what is already in their brain. This belief, this fact, this pattern is an anatomical reality in their brain, and you don't just suddenly create a different pattern by presenting a better answer. It can change, but it's an internal process, and it takes time to rewire someone's brain, to revise someone's software. Or they'll just go back to what they were doing immediately. That's the most common, most basic motivation that we have as humans is to, can I get a mute on the background noise, is to return to our core identity. If we initiate a behavior change and that's not incorporated into the model and transformed the model of how and who we are, we'll go back to the core identity. So that's one of the things that we'll learn about doing in coaching, is how to help someone change their internal model so that changes will last. So thanks Sherman, for mentioning that. Anything else about coaching in general that we can talk about in the very few minutes we have left? Any other kinds of questions about professional coaching?
So this is Jim. I was wanted you to comment some about how, when you saw, you know, you took I think it was Ben, through what the current situation was and the current behavior or pathways of what was happening, and made it clear, clearly asked what the result of that was, and so you really did help, I think, help him paint a pretty good picture of what was happening now, so that you could then ask questions about how he thought about changing things, or how you thought things could change.
Exactly. And here's how I thought about it. My client was Ben. My client was not the relationship, because I don't have any leverage or any determination over how Ben's wife responds. So that's fundamental in terms of what we do, to look at a circle of influence and a circle of concern. A circle of influence is what we can directly determine ourselves. That usually ends at our skin. The circle of influence is all the other things in the world that you want to determine, like how your boss responds, how your spouse or partner responds, the ozone level. But none of these you directly and immediately have impact on. You are ineffective if you assume that you need to respond, that somebody else needs to respond, as if they were an extension of you or of your interest and your desire. You will absolutely ensure frustration. And that's what we heard from Ben, that frustration. So I had to resonate with that frustration and look at a different model of focusing on what he could do and he could determine, because he's the only one who can determine what he does, and he's absolutely helpless and ineffective to determine how his wife responds, unless they begin to engage in a different way. But still, it's not determining what she does. It's only focusing on where and what he does. So if we give up and disengage from that entire circle of concern, all the things that we can't do, put all of our energy into what we can do, we'll be significantly more effective. Now, if my client were the couple, the relationship, it would be not two individuals, but it would be the relationship as the client, and whatever would enhance that unit would be what I do as a coach for my client, the couple. But my client was Ben. So I had to be clear about that, and he had to be clear about what he could and couldn't do in 15 minutes or less. So he did terrific work in getting there and hanging on. And what I didn't do is what I do with you know, basically every client I work with privately, is I'll ask them in the beginning, you know, may I interrupt you at any point for us to look more specifically at something? And, you know, inevitably they will say yes. The only person who consistently says no is my wife. And I will also give them permission to interrupt me, because if there's something I say that it doesn't make sense, yeah, I want to know right there, and we get back on track. So I didn't do that, but this is not atypical. only purpose is to be of help to the client as a coach, and that's exactly what you'll be doing as coaches, and looking at developing your client's story from their point of reference and seeing themselves as their own authority and their own internal point of reference. Maybe time for one more comment or question, and I know Lisa needs to come back and do some wrap-up before the top of the hour.
Mm-hmm.
And thanks, Jim, for that. Anyone else? Well, thank you all very much. A very active and interactive group. I really appreciate all the feedback and the interaction, especially Ben. Thanks again for working with me. If any of you have a follow-up question that we didn't have time to cover, my email is David_Kruger, K-R-U-E-G-E-R, at CoachTrainingAlliance.com. So I hope we have an opportunity to collaborate in the training. Lisa, thanks, and back to you.
All right. Thanks, Dr. Dave, and thank you, Ben, for being a great client. That was an awesome session, great to listen to. Let's shift gears a little bit. We are going to dig a little bit deeper into the specifics of the actual certification program and what we do here at CTA so you can learn to coach like Dave. So I'm going to give you a brief overview of the training. Then let's open up for a question about the training, the profession of coaching, and anything else that's popped up for you. So feel free to, you know, take some notes. We'll do a bunch of Q&A at the end. So that's great. All right. Thank you, Dr. Dave. Thanks again. So we're going to so let me just give you an overview so you can get a good idea of what we do here at CTA and how it will fit and feel for you. So the training here, it's called the Coach Training Alliance Certified Coach Program, is an ICF-accredited coach training. It's also a very comprehensive coach training, and it's designed to teach you how to coach and really to hone your coaching skills and develop them. Also to give you in-class experience coaching with valuable feedback from a mentor coach, and to support you in developing your own marketing to attract the clients that you most want to work with. So we describe this on our website as a three-legged stool. We teach coaching skills, business skills, and marketing skills because you need all three in order to succeed. And this is a serious program. It's for people that want to be a successful and profitable coach now. And over the course of the six-month training, you're going to be building your business, so building your coaching business. So you'll build your business. You're going to enroll your own fee-based clients, and you'll earn income as a professional coach. So you'll actually have clients and be earning fees for your coaching services before you graduate. And this training is not based on theory or any half-baked concepts. It's really tried and true information about how to coach, how to run your business, and how to be a successful coach. The program is, the class experiences are all taught by telephone, so you dial in from wherever you are. Classes are 60 to 90 minutes per week, depending on what we have scheduled on the syllabus for that day. So, for instance, Dr. Dave is starting a class in November, and we're just opened up enrollment for that. So class will begin on Monday, November 13th at 10 a.m. Eastern time. So that class will meet every Monday, 10 a.m. Eastern time, with the same group of people. So it's a closed group, usually 10 to 12 students, sometimes a few less, and Dr. Dave. So each week will be foundational to the next. So you'll be building and developing not only your coaching skills and your business, but you'll also be building relationships with your classmates and gaining confidence and competence in your coaching skills. So some of the weeks in class are what we call mentoring classes. So 10 of the 22 weeks, or 12 of the 22 weeks are mentoring classes. And this is where you'll ask your questions about the Coach Training Accelerator. And that's our extensive curriculum, which is delivered to you in an online coach training. So the whole training is online, so we're able to keep it evergreen. As things change, we update the website. And it has coaching scripted coaching dialogues, sample documents. We've got coaching resources. There are articles, related articles, audio sessions, and advanced training tips. And the information in the accelerator is practical and applicable to all coaching specialties. So each week you read certain lessons and complete certain assignments, which are all practical things you need to build and develop your coaching business. In class, you're going to share your wins and your challenges. You'll get support in the form of group coaching to move you past any stuck places, but also to celebrate all your milestones. The other weeks in class are spent coaching. So 10 of the 22 weeks are actually spent coaching. And this is one of the only coach training programs where you're going to coach real people about real issues, and you'll get immediate feedback on your coaching strengths and your areas to improve. We create a schedule at the beginning of the course, and each student has equal opportunities to coach and to be coached and to observe coaching. We also have a virtual classroom, so as you enroll in class, you'll get a login to the virtual classroom, which is really, I would describe it best as like an interactive syllabus. So it'll tell you what you need to, what lessons you need to read, what assignments you need to complete every week. The assignments are reported in the virtual classroom, so you'll know what to expect each week. There's also a coach's corner where you can connect with your classmates. You can share, you know, anything that's going on. If you've just set up your website, you can post the link. You can get feedback from your classmates, ask questions. Some of the mentor coaches actually get in and will answer questions there as well. So it's a nice way to connect, and it's private, but it's a nice way to connect outside of class. The tuition for the Certified Coach Program is regularly $28.97. And the tuition includes everything. It's the curriculum, the Coach Training Accelerator, weekly calls by teleclass, certification, exam fee, a coaching website, the virtual classroom access. So all of that's included, so it's all-inclusive. I do have a promo code, so before we complete today, I'm going to give you all a promo code to save $500 on any November class. So tuition will be $23.97. And we do have payment plans, a 3-month, a 7-month, and a 9-month payment plan. So we can explore that in a bit. But by the end of the Certified Coach Program, our CTA certified coaches have coached, have been coached, have received valuable feedback on their strengths and opportunities, have chosen a niche for their coaching business, have designed client materials and systems, and are operating a well-leveraged client attraction plan or a marketing plan, and earning income as a coach. You'll also receive, upon certification and graduation, you'll receive an invitation to our Life Coach Directory. We've got a highly ranked coaching directory, so people can find you. We've also got a great graduate community. We've been training coaches since 2000, so we've got a great graduate community. You can actually connect with coaches from all over the world. And we've got a whole graduate school of coaching. We believe in lifelong learning, so as you want to add something to your coaching business or want to dig a little bit deeper, we've got classes that start monthly. So let's open up the call now for questions about the training, upcoming schedule, the profession of coaching. Who'd like to start? Mm-hmm. If you're muted, you can hit *6 to unmute.
I'm kind of wondering, this is Laurel, sorry. I'm kind of wondering, like, what's like maybe an average type of an income for a coach?
Oh, good question. Hard to answer. It depends on what you're building. So it depends on how many clients you want to have. It depends on if you're creating multiple streams of income. You know, some people build smaller coaching businesses. Some people are building a smaller business and then retiring into coaching. So you really get to design your business yourself. I mean, you may want to work with, you know, 7 or 8 clients, a week, you know, and if in that case, you know, depending on who your niche market is and how much you want to charge, you know, maybe, I mean, you, perhaps that's a full practice for you. And if it is, you can kind of, I mean, how you charge and how much you charge is really going to depend on who you coach. So you have a lot of there's a lot of things you've got to answer. You know, what do you want your business to look like? Are you going to have, you know, multiple streams of income? Who do you most want to coach? How are you going to set your fees? We cover all of that in the training. But I think kind of the neat thing about it is that you can make this work for you. You can make this work in a way that, you know, serves you and your family. So I realize that's not much of an answer, but there's a bunch you have to really determine before I, you know. But there are coaches out there, honestly, making gobs of money. I mean, if you're an executive coach, for instance, I mean, and you work with a whole bunch of clients, you can make tons of money. I mean, if that's what you're looking at. But, I mean, that might not be who your audience is. You may, you know, it depends on who your audience is. But executive coaches, you know, are charging, you know, probably over $1,000 a month at least, I would say, for three or four sessions. So, you know, because, you know, if you're not charging enough, people are going to think you're terrible. You know, but if you want to coach, you know, part-time preschool teachers, like, you're not going to charge $1,000 a month for coaching. So who you decide to coach is also going to factor in.
Okay, thanks.
Yeah, you're welcome. What other questions?
I had a question regarding, you know, for wanting to have my business, if I'm not going to, my name's Natalie, by the way,
uh-huh.
If I'm not going to be on any type of social media, because that's, you know, kind of the main product nowadays,
uh-huh.
I'm wondering, you know, if you feel like that would be a success, being not being on any type of social media, and try to work through the word of mouth and reference and so forth.
Yeah, I think you can. I mean, if you don't want to, I mean, you might want to blog. I mean, you don't have to have Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, like all that kind of stuff. You're going to have to come up with a marketing plan that you're able to gain visibility and credibility. I mean, if you're waiting for word of mouth to fill your coaching business, you're going to be waiting a long time. So you really want to start with more than that. And certainly, I mean, I've been coaching since 2003, 2004, really. And I do get referrals. I mean, now I do, but they didn't come at the beginning. That takes some time.
Yeah.
But, you know, you might want to look at different ways of marketing. You know, writing, so newsletters, blogging, if that's interesting to you. If you write, writing is a great way to gain visibility and credibility. Speaking is another thing. If you like to get out, you can get out in front of people and speak. That's great. You can do networking. You can have referral partnerships. You know, it just goes on and on. I mean, one thing that most coaches do as part of their marketing, regardless of whether you have more of that high-touch approach to marketing where it's more, you know, hands-on, like meeting, greeting, you know, that kind of stuff, or, you know, high-tech, like, you know, Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn. Either way, most coaches will do sample sessions or complimentary sessions to show someone what coaching is. So you've got to kind of reach them first and connect with them. Once you do, instead of talking to them about coaching all day long, which gets pretty easy and, you know, we get pretty excited about this, people don't respond well to a whole lot of words around coaching. We offer sample sessions, you know, let me show you what coaching is. You know, and that's like a great way, you know, when someone experiences coaching firsthand, like Ben, we could have told Ben about coaching all day long, but he experienced it with Dave and felt the benefits. You know, so most coaches definitely do use that as a marketing, as a way to market and connect with people, but you've got to start somewhere else because they're not going to ring your doorbell. You know,
yeah.
So if social media is not your thing, no worries. Writing is not my thing. I've never blogged. I don't write newsletters. Don't like it. There's no book coming out, so, you know, don't be looking for it. But I like to talk. I mean, I'm an extrovert. I do all of my coaching by phone. So for me, if I were to market by writing and coach from home, I think I would grow mold on me. I would be crazy in this house all day. You know, so I need to get out. So, you know, you look at how you're wired up, where your giftedness is, you know, and use what you've got. So yes, my short answer is yes. You can use it on social media.
Great. Thank you so much.
Yeah, you're welcome. So other questions?
What's the liability? This is Laura again.
Yeah, interesting. Well, because as coaches we're not telling people what to do or giving advice or any kind of financial, marriage advice, we don't give any advice. We're not really in a place where we're liable. You know, I think maybe the International Coach Federation, I know they used to have some kind of insurance. I've never used it. I'm very clear in my coaching agreement what I do and what I don't do and where the liability falls, you know, where the responsibility is. So most people use their coaching agreement, which your clients will sign as your contract. You can look at ICF. You know, you can also look at Dr. Dave's website. He has a whole example of his welcome package. So you can take a peek at that. It's mentorpath.com. There's also a there's one in the Coach Training Accelerator. So as folks are going through the training, you don't have to kind of recreate everything. There's a coaching agreement in there you can use. You can modify a bit, run it by a lawyer, throw a logo on it. So certainly you can use that. But there's usually something in it that says, like, every decision this client is making is their own decision, that kind of thing.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, yeah, because we're not doing therapy. You know, there's no therapy, there's no advice, there's no, you know, your clients are in a place where they're, you know, we describe an ideal client as creative, resourceful, and whole. So they're not like, you know, hanging by a thread or, you know, they're not needing you. They're choosing coaching. They don't need coaching. They choose coaching. So there's not really a place for us to be liable.
Lisa, do we have access to either, like, the webinars or any of that? Do we have access to that afterwards so we can refer to later on?
So, that's a good question. Some of our mentor coaches record all the classes. Some don't. So it's, you know, we haven't said you have to or you can't as a school. Some of them have found that it's really helpful to their students to be able to go back and listen to a class and hear themselves coach, and, you know, or if you happen to miss a class, you can kind of catch up that way. So it's about a 50-50 split right now. So Dr. Dave does not, as, you know, a former psychiatrist, he's like all about confidentiality. So there's no recordings of his class. He may record the first class because it's like a kind of a nuts and bolts class where, you know, he goes over the virtual classroom and things like that, but he doesn't record the coaching sessions. We do have a class, another class coming up next Wednesday, a 7 p.m. Eastern time class. That's with Dave Meyer, and he records all of his classes, and he posts them in the virtual classroom, so you can listen to them each week. The last class of the month is Thursday, November 30th at 9 p.m. Eastern, and that's with Crystal and Ryan, and she does not record. And if you're thinking of a certain class and want to figure out who's teaching it and if they record or not, you can shoot me an email.
This is Christine.
Hi, Christine.
Quick question about the upcoming classes.
Mm-hmm.
So I was recently laid off from my job. They decided not to fund my position anymore. And
so because of that, I qualified, you know, of course, for unemployment for a while. But also with the dislocated worker program, I'm not sure how fast they're going to move on that. So do you have classes coming up? Well, you just mentioned the one at the end of November, but also, excuse me, in December, are there classes coming up as well?
Yeah, I usually do three or four a month, except December when we only do two because we've got all kinds of holidays coming up on us. I've got two in December. I have a 1 p.m. Eastern time on December 5th. And I have an evening class on December 13th at 7 p.m.
Okay.
Yeah, so, and then January, I'm working on that.
Sure, sure.
I have some ideas about it, but I haven't got anything nailed down. So, yeah, that's what we've got. We've got five more till the end of the year. I can't believe it's almost 2018. That's crazy. So, yeah, they're all,
so
I think they're all on the website.
Is the $500 off? Does that apply for December as well or no?
No, it's just November classes.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah. But, you know, I will say I took the certified coach program when I was laid off. I was, like, devastated when I got laid off. And then I was like, you know what? Here's the time to do this if there's ever been a time. And it was great. I had some really amazing space to create things that I really loved.
Mm-hmm.
When you say you're looking at the displaced workers thing in your state,
yep.
are they going to pay for it?
Yes. Yes. So I don't
care
if it's $500 off or not.
Yeah, if they pay for the whole thing.
Exactly. But, yeah, I mean, you know, at first I was angry when I found out 6 months ahead of time, so I had time, but I was angry. But then I thought, you know, this is my opportunity to do something I've always wanted to do, and this is what I've always wanted to do. So I think my door opened.
Yeah, it's a blessing, right?
Exactly, and I think it's a good thing, so I'm excited.
Yeah, let me know if I can help you. I know each state has their own, like, dealio on how they approve, and we usually have to somehow get involved unless they've already approved us. So
okay.
Feel free to give me a call and let me know what they need from us.
Okay, I will do that. Thank you.
Perfect.
Hey, Lisa, this is Laura again.
Yeah, go ahead.
2000 that you were talking about, what certification does that give?
Can you repeat that? I missed it at the beginning.
Well, and I'm confused because I've been looking a lot, and there's different types of certification. There's the ACSTH. You know what I'm talking about now?
Oh, I do. Yeah, yeah. So through the International Coach Federation, so ICF is, they're not the governing body of coaching. They're just like kind of the biggest association for coaches. And they offer an accreditation program. So we as a school and this training is accredited through the International Coach Federation, which means they've been through the training to be sure what we're teaching is aligned with their standards and ethics and core competencies, which it is. We've been accredited since they started the accreditation program, and we have to reaccredit it, do that whole process every couple of years. So we're all up to date. Anyway, so when you graduate from a coach training school and you certify through a school, you become certified through that school. So when you come to Coach Training Alliance, you become a Coach Training Alliance certified coach. You can use CTACC as your designation or credential. So you're certified through an ICF accredited coach training. Our accreditation through ICF is there's two different tracks of accreditation for a school. One is for programs that have over 125 hours of coach training, and one is for programs under 125 hours of coach training. So our kind of niche in coach training is that we're a shorter program. We kind of meet you where you are and really get you going. So 60 hours of coach-specific training. So we're accredited through ACSTH.
Okay.
So if you decide, so ICF offers a peer level credential, and that credential you can get or you don't have to get. It's totally up to you. You'd work through it, work toward it, because it's definitely has requirements for each level of credentialing. We offer 60 hours of coach specific training, which is exactly the number you need for the first level of credentialing. You do, however, need to meet all their other requirements, so you've got to kind of jump through all those hoops and pay them and sit for an exam and all that kind of stuff. So if you choose to pursue that, you've completed the coach training requirement, but you do have to meet the other ones, which usually takes a new coach like a year probably to pursue all those. So the ICF credential isn't something you need to get. As a matter of fact, you can't get it till you've been coaching a while. They want, what they look for is that you're a well-established professional ethical coach and you've been in practice for a while.
Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah, so that was a long answer, but I think it was thorough.
It was a deep question though, because that was something that I just really didn't understand as I've been plowing through all the information.
Well, it's really confusing, I think. It took me forever to understand it, not to mention to be able to explain it. So it's a little, it's weird because it's not a regulated field. I think it's just a little different.
But if you can say you're certified, that gives you more credibility to your clients. And we can say that by this.
Oh, absolutely. And what gives you the most credibility is your marketing. You know, you connecting with people. Like, I have to say, I've never been asked if I was credentialed through ICF. But I know that people hire me because of me, because they've somehow met me, they've heard me speak, they've connected with me personally, I've done a sample session with them, they got a referral from someone I've coached before. So that's what you'll really learn is how, because nobody really, like, searches the internet or looks in the phone book for a coach. You know, instead they somehow, they might not even be looking for a coach. Most times they're not, but they hear you or they read something you've written or they've connected with you somehow, and that's how they get you. That's how they get to you. So so I think your marketing is far more important than anything, really. You know, and in your marketing, let me just take it a step further, connecting with them in a way that touches them. So we talk about, and you'll spend a lot of time in this training, on the niche piece. That's kind of who you coach on what. And it's really important to have a pretty specific niche market. You know, if your niche is, you know, I'm a life coach, you know, then you're coaching everyone with a life, you know, so pretty broad, hard to be relevant, right? But if you work with, you know, like professional women after divorce that are ready to create the next chapter of their life story. Okay, so now who do you write your marketing to? Specifically to that audience. So what are they going through? What are their biggest challenges? Where are they? How do you speak to them and touch them and really show them how, you know, working with you is going to help them move forward more quickly than they would on their own? So the more narrow and specific the niche is, the more targeted your marketing is and the more effective it is, really.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Hey, Lisa, so this is Mark.
Yeah, go ahead.
So I got a question about, I know you said there's like a bunch of other income streams that you could have when you're doing your coaching and setting up your coaching thing. Is that associated with like the website that you make or the marketing or just additional things that you do like speaking and stuff?
Yeah. We go all into that in the training too.
Okay.
I mean, there
and
are
then,
some
again,
people that have like this, you know, amazing marketing machine where they're like sleeping and making money because they've written books or they've done audios and videos and, you know,
mm-hmm.
you know, radio is a big thing. So yeah, it's pretty cool. But go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yeah, and then finding your niche too as well. Do they go over that as well in the training too?
They do because it's that important. You know, we spend quite a bit of time because I think it's hard for a lot of folks to narrow. I mean, we come with like, you know, so much, you know, of our own experience and wisdom and, you know, work experience, life experience. It's hard to choose. Oftentimes we've got like six of them lined up. These are the six I'm thinking about, you know, and sometimes you can kind of combine them. But certainly it's not something you're going to decide in an afternoon, to be honest. It's a little bit of work. So you'll spend time on that in class.
Okay. Thank you, Lisa.
Yeah, you're welcome. Yeah, so no worries if you don't know your niche. I mean, some people know, and that's great. Some people know and change their mind. Other people don't know and figure it out. So, and I think people are a whole lot more savvy about niching nowadays than they were when I took the training. I mean, back in 2003, I mean, I had never even heard of a niche market, or I just didn't get it. It was really quite painful for me, to be honest. It was tough to kind of drill down into that. I spun for a little bit. But eventually kind of nailed it down. And as soon as I did and started, you know, connecting my marketing to a message to a niche, then that's when I was able to really enroll clients. So, oh, we've just got a few more minutes. What other questions are out there?
Hi, Lisa. It's Natalie again. I had a question about when you're coaching, if you have a client that's stonewalled, how do you handle that situation?
Stonewalled meaning how?
Like
they don't want to answer questions or?
Yeah. Like you've exhausted, you know, all avenues in trying to find their, you know, self-fulfillment and
Yeah. It's interesting because, you know, one of the things you're going to learn in class is about who is coachable. You know, what does coachable look like? You know, we describe coachable as creative, resourceful, and whole. And that's part of the reason that as coaches we do a sample coaching session. So we're showing someone what coaching is, kind of showcasing this is coaching, but we're also assessing, is this a coachable client? I mean, there are certainly people that are stuck in a rut and want to just decorate it and call it home. They don't want to do any work. And that's fine. I mean, I'm sure most people have found themselves in a place where they're like, yeah, I don't want to change right now. You know, but when someone is highly motivated, ready for change, then they're going to engage in the coaching process. You can tell pretty quickly who in a sample session is going to be a client that's ready for this work. This is rigorous work. This isn't, you know, like, oh, isn't it pretty, I'll hire a coach. But, you know, coaching is, you know, we'll ask Ben. I mean, he was challenged, I'm sure, by some of the questions, you know, because it's you're really working. So I can usually tell up front if someone's going to be a client, not only a coachable client, but one I really like, because all of my clients I have to really like, you know. But so I really don't run up against that very often, but usually you can tell in the sample session. But if I did, then I would probably let them go. I mean, if they're not willing to engage in the process, connect in the process, there might be another professional service that's better suited to them than coaching at that time.
Okay.
Yeah, and you'll learn how to let clients go, because sometimes that happens. You know, sometimes it's not the season for them for coaching. There's other things that need to be worked out.
Okay. And then the difference between, because I was actually presenting this question the other day, what the difference between counseling and coaching is.
Yeah, that's a good question. We kind of went over it at the very beginning of class. Shoot me an email, because I have a really cute video on it. But let me answer it now, too, because you can never do it too much. and this is actually a Dr. Dave, which I didn't mention this earlier, but Dr. Dave Kruger described, because he's a former psychiatrist. He was just on the call with us. And he describes counseling and therapy more as archaeology, so kind of uncovering, and coaching more like architecture, so building.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so we're not going to go into the old story, digging in and uncovering. Coaching is really about the here and the now and the moving forward. So we don't fix, save, treat, diagnose.
Okay. I think I saw there's a video that you did on a YouTube video that you did.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it's cute.
Yeah, I like it a lot, actually.
Well, we're getting close to the top of the hour, but before we wrap up and do last questions, let me give you the promo code, because you want to save $500. If you use the promo code as you're checking out, let me explain how to get there. So as you're checking out, you can click on the upcoming class schedule and you can see a calendar. Click on the class that fits your schedule. If you choose like Dr. Dave's class on Mondays at 10 a.m., it's always going to be Mondays at 10 a.m. with Dr. Dave, same group, closed group. You click on that. Once you're into the shopping cart, you'll see a promo code box. You want to type in Lisa Special, all uppercase, no spaces. So LISASPECIAL, Lisa Special, all uppercase, no spaces. And when you apply the promo code, you'll see $500 come off. So it's $23.97. And then you can choose your payment plan. There's a 3-month, a 7-month, a 9-month, or you can pay in full, whatever works best for you. I didn't want to forget to give you that. And I think we've got all the classes through December on the website now, so you can see what works best for you. But what other last-minute questions? Go ahead.
This is Laurel. Just to be clear, when you sign up for a class, it will always be at that specific time every week.
Yes. Yes, exactly. Same group of people, so you get to know all of your classmates. You also get a buddy for class, so you have kind of a study buddy you connect with weekly by phone and coach each other and share your goals.
How long do the classes last? You may have said
90 minutes.
No, I mean like week long.
Oh, that's a good question. 22, so it's about 6 months. Let me see if I have an end date for... Dr. Dave's class is ending on, I believe, June 25th. So it seems like the November classes are ending in June. The December classes are ending in July.
Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. So I do want to give you all my contact information. Feel free, I know we have a lot of information in this hour and a half, but feel free to call me or email me. There'll be a follow-up email that goes out sometimes today or tonight. If by chance you want to listen to another one of these classes, if, like, say the evening class is a better fit for you and you want to meet the mentor coach, I have another class just like this tonight at Eastern, and that will be with mentor coach Dave Meyer. So if you want to meet Dave just to, hear his voice and, listen to some coaching by him, he'll be on the first half of the call. So feel free to sign up for, or not sign up, you can just come. It's the same phone number, same PIN code. So I just want to throw that out there in case that fits for you. The other thing is you can call me or email me with any questions. My direct phone line is 303-991-0388, and I'm extension 1. So feel free to give me a call, or you can email me. It's lisa@coachtrainingalliance.com. There will be a follow-up email, but if you can just reply to that one if you get that first. So we've done a lot here. It's been a lot of information. But I do want to leave you with a question, and I can stay for more Q&A if folks have more questions. I'll be here as long as there are questions. But we've done a lot in just an hour and a half in our class. So I want to leave you with a coaching question for you to ponder, of course, because I'm a coach. And the question is, what is your next immediate step to become a coach? So what is your next immediate step to become a coach? Feel free to reach out to me if you have an answer to that. I'd love to hear it. And it may be that you're ready to enroll. I'd encourage you to jump in now and save your spot in whatever class fits best for you. Don't forget the promo code Lisa Special. But if you want to learn more or take a deeper look, feel free to join me tonight at 8 p.m. Eastern. Or if you want to stay for more Q&A, I'll be here. Or if you want to set up a private call, we can certainly do that. You have my contact information. So I want to thank you guys. This has been great. I'm like right on time. It's 11:29. Miracles do happen. But thank you so much for joining. If you want to stay for more Q&A, I'm going to be here. But if not, I want to send you on your way. And have a great day today. And thank you so much for your participation, especially you, Ben, stepping up. That was awesome.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
All right, so who has questions? Everybody's waiting for everyone else's questions. Anyone planning on coming tonight?
I think I am. This is Jim.
Oh, good. And don't feel like you have to stay for the whole thing. I mean, unless if you want to, that's great. But if you want to just listen to Dave, he's great. They're all great. All of our mentor coaches, I have to say, are really awesome. It's really an interesting thing. I've been here with CTA since 2000. Well, I took the training in 2003. I came on board at 2005, I think it was. All of our mentor coaches are amazing. And I think the one who's been here the least amount of time has been here 10 years. So everybody's very seasoned. they all have their own private coaching businesses. If you look at the faculty page, usually I think there's a link to everyone's website. But they're not just trainers for CTA. They all have their own thriving coaching businesses, and they teach on the side. But they love it. It's such a great gig to, work with coaches developing their business and learning to coach. So I have to say we do have a completely awesome faculty.
Great. What time is that tonight?
8 p.m. Eastern.
Thank
so
you.
You're in Pennsylvania?
Yes.
Yeah. I think you're Eastern time. So.
We are, absolutely.
Okay, yeah. So 8 p.m. It's late. I usually don't teach this late. We'll see how I do. You can tell me if I have as much energy at night as I do in the morning. So other questions?
This is Natalie. Do you think that during the process of achieving the accreditation and prior, before kind of getting, a dirty niche, would be okay to start kind of marketing myself in that direction, I don't know, to kind of generate.
Oh, so before you complete the training?
Yeah, if I were to prior and during and try to.
You have to in this training. You have to, upon certification, one of the requirements to certify is you've got to have at least 2 paying clients. So we really, it would be easy to talk about coaching and read about coaching, and marketing and business all day long. But knowing about it doesn't mean you can do it. So, you know, knowing about it's easy, right? You know, understanding, oh, a marketing plan, I'll do this, I'll do that. But it's the doing it piece where we really get a little, you know, it's a little grindy. So what I would say is it's important in this training. It's a hands-on training. It's a do-it kind of training. So you're going to coach in class. You're going to be coached. You're going to observe coaching. You'll get feedback on your skills. Same with the business and marketing. You're not just going to be learning about how you might start up your business or even deciding how you're going to do it or how you're going to market it. You've got to be out there and doing it, which is great because you've got, you know, when you're doing it, that's when you need and want the most support. A lot of coach training schools don't even cover business or marketing. But a lot of people will graduate and finish a training and then they have no idea how to do this. Or they have some ideas about marketing, but then they're alone doing it. I found that the group was really so important because everybody's starting a business together and they might, every business might look completely different. But that doesn't matter. You know, some people are going to be doing more speaking. Some people are going to be writing. Some people, you know, are doing newsletters. But there's like such a great energy of people starting businesses, asking questions. You've got a mentor coach that's been a successful coach for over a decade. You know, some of them 20 years. So it's great. It's very supportive. So yeah, you absolutely want to be doing this while you're training.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. So what other questions? All right, if you guys are good, I'm going to wrap it up. Well, thank you for joining me. Oh, go ahead.
Thank you, Lisa, and thank you for your positive attitude. That's awesome.
Thanks. It was great to meet you. And feel free, seriously, feel free to give me a call if you have any questions. I would love to hear from you. Usually something pops up after we end the call. So I'm here all day today. And tonight in another Becoming a Coach class at 8. So feel free to join in if that fits. Well, thanks, everyone.
Thank
have a great day.
You too. Bye-bye.
All righty. Bye-bye.
Bye.